Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
Welcome again to another edition or episode of Evangelize for Life with your host, Stephen Glover. So glad you're able to join me again today. And I wanted to continue with the similar topic. Before we were discussing the final state of those who are believers, and today we want to continue with the final state of the wicked. This is to dispel the myths of annihilationism or to dispel the myth of restorationism, but preach the truth about what the Bible teaches about eternity and separation from God for those who do not believe. So before we get started and dealing with this topic, a very heated topic in the secular world where the worldview is that people often dismiss evil, they dismiss demons, and there's a large emphasis on the love of God. So we want to look at that, and we want to see what the Bible has to say regarding the final destination of the wicked. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that gives us insight regarding your holiness, your nature, your character. Yes, Lord, you are a God of love. You are a long-suffering God, because your word says you desire none to perish, and you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, according to Ezekiel. But you do desire, according to Peter, that all come to the knowledge of the truth. But, of course, it's up to man to decide to believe in you, to receive your forgiveness to your son. And yes, Lord, you are sovereign. You know who will believe, but you give every man the opportunity. So we pray, God, that those who are hearing, give them ears to hear. And those who do not know you, give them a heart to believe in your son's Christ. Thank you for the word. And thank you for this time together. And may I decrease in order that you might increase. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. Well, I wanted to, and I couldn't wait to get to this topic, guys, because I mentioned in the intro restorationism, and that restorationism is the idea of a second chance after death. And the reason why I think some of these philosophies or these views of Scripture have gained momentum, or some people have believed these quote-unquote truths, is that they emphasize the love of God, that God is not a God that will damn or condemn or judge anyone to an eternal existence in hell. And that is why we hear about annihilationism. Annihilationism is the concept where those who are saved will have unending life, but those who are not saved will be eliminated and annihilated. And that means they will cease to exist. According to Millard, and I quoted him before, he said, while granting that not everyone deserves to be saved, he says, to receive everlasting bliss, this position maintains that no one deserves endless suffering. So he is in agreement that, and this is what the annihilationism, their philosophy is that everyone, of course, does not deserve to be saved, but do they deserve an eternal hell? Well, to eliminate that possibility, they come up with the perspective that they're going to be totally eliminated, abolished out of existence, where they won't have to suffer. And there's a couple different forms of annihilationism. There's pure mortalism. There's also conditional immorality. And there is a third one called, and I just mentioned annihilationism, which is the one that's most common. But each one basically just emphasizes the fact that the person will not exist any longer. And so let's look at what the Bible teaches. And I think if we look in Matthew chapter 25, this is known as it's called the judgment of the nations, where Jesus, after the tribulation period, after the church has been raptured, after believers have been taken into heaven, well, when Jesus returns, after the tribulation period where God pours out his wrath, he pours out his judgment on those who rejected Christ, there will be some who will survive that judgment. There will be some that will survive, and then they will enter into, when Jesus comes back before the millennium reign, they're judged by Christ. And so, according to verse 31 of Matthew 25, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glory throne. So we know that he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. Daniel wrote of that. Many prophets spoke of Jesus ruling and reigning. The prophet Isaiah talks about the scepter, government was put upon his shoulders, and those verses there in Isaiah, in verse 32, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. So not only will you have people who come to faith in Jesus Christ, we know the 144,000 witnesses during the tribulation period will be preaching the gospel, and that there will be many Jews who come to faith, believing the Messiah, Jesus Christ, so they will bow their knee eventually. So the unbelievers will also be mentioned here, because the shepherd is separating the sheep, meaning the believers, those who come to faith or those who serve God, or he will separate the sheep from the goats. The goats are mentioned here, the sheep going to the right and the goats going to the left. And then the king will say to those on the right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so he would later go on and talk about those who, when I was hungry, those who were in prison, you visited me, and etc. He's talking about their work, so they're rewarded for their service. But also, he goes on to say, regarding the wicked, and those who did persecute, or those who did martyr, those who were believers during that period of time, he's going to say, what you did to Lisa, then you did to me. So what you do to a believer, you actually do unto Christ. And that's something that we should remember in the body of Christ. When we slander a believer, we slander Christ. When we harm or intentionally hurt a believer, we hurt, in fact, hurt Christ. And then he says in verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, these are the goats, remember the separation, the sheep from the goats, the sheep on the right, the goat from the left, depart from me, accursed one. So these are the condemned ones. These are the ones who are accursed, judged, one into eternal fire. So this clearly Jesus, who created hell, even in Luke 16, where it talks about Lazarus and the rich man, there's a priest, what that was like, where saw that individual was in torment. And there was no transporting of one existence to another, where the man in hell wanted to go from one side to cross over to the other. But Scripture clearly says that besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. So we're talking about an eternal state that you cannot get out of. That was from verse 26 of Luke chapter 16. Hopefully, I said 16, but Luke 16. So, an eternal state that is sealed forever. So, for those who kind of believe in the purgatory, that you can kind of leave one existence to another, or for those who are the restorationists, who believe that there's a second chance that you could be restored or be reconciled back to God, here are verses that totally teach against that mindset or that belief system. So he goes on to say that eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, if you go to the book of Revelation, the Bible not only talks about the devil and his angels, but again, it mentions, let me see if I can turn there, in verse 10 of chapter 20, that the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So again, here's another verse that eliminates or contradicts or clearly speaks towards an eternal death, an eternal judgment. And if that is not enough, because when we look in the book of Revelation like we did regarding heaven, where those who are mentioned here will spend eternity with God, there's going to be an eternal separation for those who reject Jesus Christ, who reject God's forgiveness. And he, again, emphasizes this in Revelation 14. And another angel, verse 9, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed with full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night. Those who worship the beast in his image and those who receive the mark of his name. So here's a warning for those who are in the tribulation period, for those who rejected Jesus Christ, like right now, if you're hearing, listening, and number one, if you want to join in, and if you would like to call and participate in the discussion, you can call 646-200-4203, because I believe this is crucial, that people understand that those who go through the tribulation period, those who have rejected Christ, yes, they will be given an opportunity while they are alive to believe in the Jesus Christ, because we see that throughout the book of Revelation, that people will come to faith. Israel will be saved, not all Israel, but those who believe in the Messiah. But for those who take the mark, we don't know, we just know Revelation 13 talked about you won't be able to barter, trade, buy, sell, unless you have the mark. And it's the band, it's said of 666. So those who do take the mark seal their eternity forever, eternally damned, eternally under judgment. And then the final judgment, as spoken here, when he mentioned that prepare for the devil and his angels, that hell was originally created for Satan and for his demons, those who were following him, the fallen angels. It wasn't intended for man, but when man sins against a holy, righteous God, then God has got to judge man. God is a God of love, but God is also holiness, and that's taught throughout Scripture. And one of the common characteristics of hell is the absence of God. God will not be there. Man will be eternally separated from God. So we're not only talking about judgment, we're not only talking about darkness, we're not only talking about pain and suffering, because God issues out the punishment due to those who violated an eternal God. And so therefore, God provides an eternal body, a body that is able to handle and deal with the eternal judgment for violating God's holiness, his perfection. So that is not a God that is not a God of love, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. And God demonstrated his love towards us in the fact that 1 John talks about that Jesus became the propitiation for our sins. So God, for those who go to hell because of the fact that they reject God's forgiveness. So the final verdict will be assigned to the final state of the wicked. And so there is no scriptural indication that there's going to be an opportunity for belief after a primarily period of judgment. There's not going to be a restoration period where man would be reconciled to God. There is coming an eternal judgment, a final judgment, seen as contrary to reason, but it is found throughout Scripture. There's no scriptural indication of a second chance because Jesus continually talked about that judgment. Now, I just quoted Matthew 25:41, but and also Mark 8:12. The Bible says, but the subject of the kingdom will be thrown out. He says, will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:46, we read. Revelation 14:10-11, we read. Revelation verses 9:1-2 and also verse 11 talks about the wrath of God. Talks about the bottomless pit there. The wrath of God in Romans chapter 2 verse 5. Second death in Revelation 21 verse 8. Eternal destruction and exclusion from the faith of the Lord. That's in 2 Thessalonians 1:9. So clearly, throughout Scripture, there is no such thing of annihilationism where a person ceases to exist. That person will spend an eternity under God's judgment. And that is the reason why, guys, it's important that we remind them that we preach the gospel and share the good news that judgment day is coming. And those who have not repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in his sacrificial death, not only in his burial, but the fact that the Bible teaches that Jesus resurrected from the dead and that he is the first fruit of the dead, where he overcame death. And this is why we can say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Because Jesus overcame death, and that he resurrected from the dead. Those who are in Christ, meaning those who have been born again, those who have been baptized into Christ, those who have been saved, as Scripture reveals, will not perish, will not come under judgment, but have passed from death to life because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so there are implications that we find in doctrine, final state, decisions made in this life will govern our future condition. And so throughout Scripture, those who reject Christ, those who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ, you know, they're stealing their eternal judgment. And we're not talking about a temporary period of time, but we're talking about eternity. We're talking about forever and ever, where God has created a place. He has created a body. He has created a time in which there will be a judgment. That's a dominion period, that a person will sin forever. And that concept is beyond our understanding. Because after a million years, if you can count them, it's as if time had never stopped. This is the reason why. If you do not know Jesus Christ, you must believe in him. Because the nature of the future state is far more intense than anything known in life. We cannot even imagine it. Now, Scripture does not give us a clear indication of what it's going to be like. We know we talked about heaven before, and we talked about being in the presence of God. Can you imagine being in the presence of God in which everybody will be, because the Bible says every one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you imagine being in God's presence, seeing the holiness of God in the splendor of heaven and then being separated. That's not the passion. The bliss of heaven are not thought of as simply intensification of the pleasures of this life. We're not talking about a materialistic heaven. We're talking about presence. It's the glory of God finally being manifested, like there at Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus revealed his glory. We're talking about seeing the glory of God. So think of hell. Hell is not so much a place of physical suffering as it is the awful, lonely, total and final separation. That's what Jesus is warning us about. That is what Jesus is trying to prevent. That is why church has been commissioned to go and to preach the gospel, because we're talking about family members, we're talking about friends, we're talking about neighbors, you know, we're talking every individual will stand before God, and if they do not have atonement, forgiveness, reconciliation, where their sins have been washed away through the blood at the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, where he was just, sinless, perfect, without blemish, as the Bible describes. And yet, if that has not been believed, received upon, trusted in, then that individual will spend eternity. Hell should not be thought of primarily as punishment visited upon believers by a vindictive God, but as the natural consequences of life chosen by those who reject Christ. And Revelation 9, let me turn to that, actually tells us that people will mock, people will scorn, people will continue, even during the tribulation period, where God is pouring out his wrath, and the Bible says, and the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of their works, the works of their hands, so as not to worship and the idols of gold and silver and brass and of stone and of wood, which can see the seas, nor can walk. And you know what that sounds like today? We worship idols. We worship cars and gold and brass and stone. Stone as in coal. Stone as in concrete. Stone as in, you know, could be jewelry. I mean, we worship wood. That sounds like houses of steel. Not just Buddhas. Not just false, you know, idols created in the image of man, but we're talking about we worship materialistic things. And it says in verse 21 in chapter 9 of Revelation, says they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their theft. So men, even under the judgment of God, would not repent. And it's really not going to be any different. Men will scorn God, men will mock God, men will blaspheme his name, men will continue on, even though they are the judgment, even though they're experiencing the same cause of the heart, of their heart, they would not repent of their murders, of their sorcery, of their immorality, of their theft. But you know what's interesting? It's interesting that in Revelation 22, verse 15, the Bible says, outside are the dogs, and the sorcerers, and the immoral persons, murderers, and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. Now, this is not a complete list, but this just identifies that people who live wrong, people who live filth, people who live unrighteousness, he says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, Jesus, that the same chapter says that he is bringing the judgment with him. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he is the beginning, he is the end. He offers a robe of righteousness to those who will believe, those who desire to have their sins washed away. And we know that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. The revelation of God's Ten Commandments reveals the holiness of God. We're lying, stealing, and lust. I mean, this reveals a standard and his holiness. But also, it reveals that we cannot keep the law. That's why we need a Savior. Because the law is just a schoolmaster to lead us. Where we need Jesus, we need his righteousness, we need his righteousness. Because we are fallen, we live in a fallen world, and we are depraved. From the womb, the Bible says, iniquity, what we can see in our mother's womb. And this is why we need a Savior. This is why I needed a Savior. This is the reason why I preach and share the gospel every day. Because the wickedness of foul wickedness and heart foul. So wickedness blasphemes the Lord every day. But yet God is sentient. Plentiful in grace, plentiful mercy, often for those. And if you're there today and you would like to repent, if you're not going to be hard hearted, you're not going to reject God's forgiveness. And you understand now that all human beings will be confined to either heaven or hell. Even the Bible talks about there is going to be degrees of reward and punishment. Well done, good and faithful steward, in Matthew 25. That you have been faithful over a little, I'm going to put your stewardship over a lot. But even the Bible mentions that for those who have been given much, if you're listening to this broadcast, God will one day hold you accountable, because now you know about his forgiveness. And the Bible clearly talks about in Luke chapter 12, verse 47. That the servant who knows the master's will, you know that God sent his only begotten. You know that Jesus Christ, who was God incarnate, took on human flesh, lived a sinful life, died on the cross for the sins of the world, where he bore our iniquity and our transgressions, as Isaiah wrote about in chapter 53. You know that Jesus bore our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And so the Bible tells us that this passage makes it very clear. And this is, and I'm talking about the passage that's found there in Luke, that the servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with many blows. So we see clearly that even hell will have levels. And many, much of that, because I think about Hitler and how he used the church. He used it like propaganda, where he had a form of godliness and manipulated people in order to follow him. And the thing is that many of those who did knew the truth. Hitler knew the truth. He entered into the church and established a broken cross in order to accomplish his demonic. But the Bible says that the one who does not know does things deserving punishment to flow. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. But the one who's been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So if you know the truth, if you have heard and have followed this broadcast and reject God's atoning forgiveness with your strength. So with it now, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you again for joining Evangelize for Life, this particular episode, and we'll continue looking for God's written theology. But I thank you again for joining me, and I invite you. God bless you.